And I want to take us this morning to a very famous psalm. These weeks of summer, I've been kind of reflecting on my own personal time with the Lord on what are known as the Psalms of Ascent. That's a playlist of 15 psalms contained within the book of Psalms, Psalms 120 through to 134, known as the Psalms of Ascent. And this morning I want to take us to one of them, and it's Psalm 121, which is perhaps a precious psalm to many of you this morning. So we're going to read from Psalm 121, and I'm going to lead us just in reflecting on it for a few minutes together. Psalm 121. Let's hear the word of God to us this morning. The psalmist writes, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. He is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Mountains fascinate. I don't know about you, but I love looking at mountains. Myself and my wife Pauline were away for a couple of days in Newcastle County Down this past week, and we spent a couple of days just in the shadow of the mountains of Mourne. The mountains fascinate. Whether it's the mountains of Mourne, or maybe you're up in the highlands of Scotland, or you travel a little bit further afield to the Alps of Europe, or the Dolomites of Italy, or the Rockies of Canada. Such mountains are stunning and beautiful and majestic. I don't know about you, but I find mountains to be such a symbol of stability and permanence in an ever-changing world. And when some of you see mountains, like one of our boys, Luke, whenever he sees a mountain, he has an adrenaline rush because he loves climbing mountains. And maybe that's you. You see a mountain and you have an adrenaline rush because you love climbing mountains, or maybe even skiing down them. Mountains fascinate. In Bible times, mountains, however, had a very different connotation. People looked to the mountains in Bible times not so much with thoughts of beauty or stability or with a rush of adrenaline. No, in Bible times, people looked to the mountains with fear. Because to them, the mountains symbolized danger. Mountains were where wild animals and criminals took shelter. Mountains were bandit country. When you were in the mountains, you were on dangerous ground. That's our first point this morning. When you were in the mountains, you were on dangerous ground. We're not exactly sure how Psalm 121 originated. We do know that it was included in one of those, as one of the songs in that playlist of 15 psalms running from Psalm 120 to 134, known as the Psalms of Ascent. Those were psalms that were usually sung by Jewish pilgrims when they were making their way to Jerusalem for one of the annual festivals. Pilgrims would come from all over Israel to Jerusalem, but it was no small matter to take that trip to Jerusalem. No, it was a journey full of danger. To reach Jerusalem, travelers would have to pass through hills or mountains that surrounded the city, and the hills and mountains spelt danger. You might remember, for example, how Jesus told a story on one occasion of the Good Samaritan, where a man was traveling between Jerusalem and Jericho along that mountainous route surrounding Jerusalem, and he was seized upon by robbers and he was beaten up. That's where it took place, in the hills or the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. It was dangerous territory, dangerous ground. And so the people of God included this psalm as part of their Songs of Ascent playlist. I lift up my eyes to the hills, begins the psalm. That isn't a positive, sentimental statement about the beauty around them. That's a fearful statement about the uncertainty that lies ahead of them. I lift up my eyes to the mountains, the dangerous place. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. There's fear in that phrase, not, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Isn't it lovely? No, it's, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? That's the flavor of this psalm. The hills are dangerous. The mountains are dangerous. Who's going to help me? So those are the shoes of the writer of this psalm. He isn't writing this psalm from a position of snug safety. He's on dangerous ground, and if we forget that, then this psalm will just all sound a bit twee, a bit sweet and sentimental and far removed from everyday reality. No, the writer feels in danger as he writes this psalm. And sometimes we too feel as if we're walking on dangerous, uncertain, frightening ground. Do we not? Some decline in our health that changes everything. Maybe going through an experience of unemployment or a frightening change of employment. Maybe experiencing the breakdown of a key relationship, or perhaps the loss of someone who is very precious to us, or maybe going through something else that just keeps turning and turning and turning around in our heads, and it maybe keeps us awake at night and we just can't seem to see any way through it. I lift up my eyes to the hills, the dangerous, frightening, uncertain ground. Where does my help come from? Well, where does our help come from? Do we look to family? Do we look to friends? Do we look to some sort of professional? Do we look to our own resources, our savings? Of course, those people and those things have their place. But the psalmist knows where his ultimate help comes from. He talks in this psalm about the Lord, our ultimate helper. The Lord, our ultimate helper. The psalmist begins the psalm by reminding himself of the power of God. Verse 2, he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord is the maker of everything. From the ants scuttling around the writer's feet, to the stars and planets spinning above his head, and all the eclipses that have taken place throughout history. The Lord is the maker of everything in heaven and on earth. God is powerful. That's how the psalmist begins. President Dwight Eisenhower was the 34th president of the United States of America. He was a man who was deeply influenced by his Christian faith. And the story is told of how Eisenhower, when he found himself often in some kind of presidential dilemma, some situation where he just didn't know what he was going to do, he would reach out to a friend who was a Christian and also an astronomer. And they would have dinner together at the White House, and then they would go outside for a walk, and his friend would look up at the sky, and he would point out a particular constellation of stars to Eisenhower, and he'd say something like this, Dwight, you see that there? That is the spiral galaxy of Andromeda. It is the nearest galaxy to our Milky Way galaxy. It is just 2.5 million light years away. It consists of a trillion stars, each one larger than our own sun. And they say it's one of about 100 million galaxies. And he'd go over all this to Eisenhower, and then he would say to him, "Now I think you feel small enough. But realize that God is big enough. Now go to your bed. Now go to your bed. The Lord is the maker of everything." The psalmist reminds us here of his power. And as we recall the Lord's power, it puts many of our insecurities into perspective. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In other words, the writer is saying, if God made the heavens and the earth, look at that amazing feat. If he has the power to make the heavens and earth, the sun, the stars, the planets, and everything contained within them, then whatever it is I'm facing is a small thing for him in comparison. Why would I ever doubt God's ability to meet me in my difficulty and bring me his help? This is the one who has created everything. He is the Lord, our ultimate helper, the God of power and strength and might. I lift up my eyes to the mountains, the dangerous ground, the uncertain ground, the terrifying ground, the scary ground. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one who is the ultimate helper and is able for all things, even my things. So after talking about his dangerous ground, and after placing his confidence in the Lord, his ultimate helper, then the psalmist in the rest of the psalm talks about the Lord, our watchful protector. We see that in verses 3 to 8, verses which are just full of phrases containing statements about the protection of God. Every time in this psalm you read a phrase such as watches over or keeps, it's actually the same word that's being used in the original Hebrew. It's the word shamar, which means to guard or to protect. So six times in these verses we're told that the Lord guards, shamars, protects his people. Verse 3, he who shamars you will not slumber. Verse 4, he who shamars Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord shamars you. Verse 7, the Lord will shamar you from all harm. He will shamar your life. Verse 8, the Lord will shamar your coming and going. Keep, guard, protect, and add to that other phrases such as verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. Verse 5, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. And we have here a psalm that is loaded with statements about the Lord's protection of his people. Three things about the Lord's watchful protection that are worth notice really quickly, worth noticing. Firstly, it's a protection that never ceases. Verse 3, he who protects you will not slumber. He who protects Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. It's a protection that never ceases. There is not an hour of today, nor will there be a nanosecond in the future when the Lord isn't watching over those who trust in him. It's a protection that never ceases. Secondly, it's a watchful protection that is deeply personal. Verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. Verse 5, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. It's a watchful protection that never ceases. It's a watchful protection that is deeply personal. It is a watchful protection in all circumstances. Verses 6 to 8, there are three pairs of opposites mentioned, you'll maybe notice. Verse 6, day and night, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 8, the opposite of coming and going. The Lord will watch over your coming and going. Verse 8, also the opposites of now and evermore, both now and forevermore. In other words, the psalmist is simply saying, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, the pressures of the daytime or the panics of the nighttime, the pressures of the daytime or the panics of the nighttime. In whatever our circumstances and wherever we find ourselves coming or going, in the waiting room, the workplace, or the ward, in whatever our circumstances, in wherever our circumstances, and whenever our circumstances, whenever we're facing uncertainty and fear, either right now or at some point in the future, the Lord is watching over, keeping, protecting His people. It's a protection in all circumstances. Our help comes from the Lord, our watchful protector. Now, you're possibly thinking what I have sometimes thought when I read Psalm 121. Darren, all this talk of God being our watchful protector, well, that's very far from reality. Is it not just wishful thinking? You maybe think of the times in your life when the Lord hasn't protected you or someone you love or know from something. He hasn't protected you from all harm. In fact, some terrible things maybe have happened to you. My mind jumps to an interview that I watched recently with a guy called Pastor Barnabas. What a name for a pastor, the son of encouragement. A guy called Pastor Barnabas, a pastor from northern Nigeria, and he, along with thousands of Christians in northern Nigeria, have been attacked, some of them killed. They've been driven from their land and homes by militant Islamists. They have been forced to flee and live in makeshift camps for internally displaced persons. How does all of that square with this talk in Psalm 121 of the Lord our watchful protector? And I think in response to that question, a couple of things I would say. Firstly, this: I believe that the Lord on many occasions protects His people from danger and works for us in ways that we're not even aware of right now. On many occasions, the Lord protects His people from danger and works for us in ways that we're not even aware of right now. I can think of at least one occasion where to this day, I do not know how I was unharmed. It was through an incident as I was driving along a road, and to this day, I do not know how my car got through a gap that just seemed impossible to get a car through, and I came out of that incident unscathed. I can only put it down that day to the Lord being my watchful protector. I have a friend who, on one occasion during the Troubles here in Northern Ireland, had a gun held to his head. And the shooter was about to pull the trigger, and he did try to pull the trigger. And the gun jammed. And my friend was able to go free. And he puts that down to nothing else other than the Lord in that moment being his watchful protector. Folks, I believe there are scores of ways in which the Lord protects us as his people that right now we're not even aware of, but one day we will become aware of in glory just how much the Lord has been our watchful protector. protector. But these verses aren't saying that as a Christian we'll never suffer from hardship or sickness or pressure or financial difficulty or physical danger. The Bible never promises us some kind of problem-free existence. In fact, Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're not immune to the problems that everyone else faces living in this broken world. And in fact, as Christians, we'll sometimes have the added pressure of suffering for our faith in Jesus. The late Presbyterian pastor Eugene Peterson, in his book on the Psalms of Ascent called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, he writes of Psalm 121, he says this, Christians travel on the same roads that everyone else travels on. We breathe the same air, we drink the same water, we shop in the same stores, we read the same newspapers, we are citizens under the same governments, we pay the same prices for groceries and gasoline, we fear the same dangers, we are subject to the same pressures, we get the same distresses and are buried in the same ground. But then he continues, the difference is that each step we walk, each breath we breathe, we know we are preserved by God. We know we are accompanied by God. We know we are ruled by God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure or what accidents we experience, the Lord will preserve us from evil. He will keep our life. What's all of that saying? It's saying that we will at some point in our lives face real dangers and fears in this life. But the difference for the one trusting in Jesus, the difference is that we have the powerful Lord of the universe with us, and he will ultimately protect us, and he will give us everything we need in those situations that we fear things will just be too much for us to cope with. He will give us the strength we need. He will give us the courage we need. He will give us the sense of his presence we need at just the right time. He won't hold back in giving us anything that is for our good. And he will ultimately protect us by ensuring that he brings us to glory. Just as a close, I think a wonderful companion to Psalm 121 in the New Testament is those verses from Romans chapter 8, 35 to 39, where the Apostle Paul says, who shall separate or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are some highly protected people in this world, kings, prime ministers, presidents with strict security details, armored cars, police escorts, and decoy aircraft, it appears now as well. There are some highly protected people in this world, but ultimately no one is as protected as the people of God. Those trusting in the Lord Jesus. I lift up my eyes to the mountains, to the dangerous, uncertain, frightening ground. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, our ultimate helper, the one who is the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who shamars, guards you, will not slumber. He who guards Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord guards you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will guard you from all ultimate harm. The Lord will guard your life. The Lord will guard your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The Lord, our ultimate helper. The Lord, our watchful protector.